This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I think this is like the perfectly apropos show to be doing here, and I'm super excited about this one.
Apropos show.
Rich Ote hanging out, and Mary Goulet doing her volunteer work. God bless her heart. Somebody's got to do it. And just enjoying the new studios here for Reinvention Radio. Sounding pretty good. Sounding a lot better than last week. I mean, it's like the buzzing, the crackling is gone. It sounds clear.
Keep it moving forward
because America is all about progress. We are here at WS. We are progressive. This is Progressive Talk on WS Radio.
Oh, is that your new moniker?
Progressive Talk.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't even know what progressive is. I don't even know if I am. It's like I'm more regressive. I think that's what we should do, Wade. We should Regressive Talk. I think that should be our new moniker here, our new tagline at WS. All right, very cool. So looking forward to today's, well, first and foremost, I mean, let's call this what it is, which is this is an extravaganza.
This is an extravaganza,
and it's not just a show. This is truly where extravaganzas and excellence and what I would call astonishingly excellent programming happens on a weekly basis. So Reinvention Radio, where astonishingly excellent programming happens on a weekly basis. What do you think? Is that
hashtag it?
Hashtag it. All right, very cool. So speaking of hashtags, let's bring in Tina, because Tina actually may have something intelligent to say, and I think that's probably why most folks will be joining us here to talk about reinventing audio marketing. And Tina, are you with us there?
Yes. Thanks for having me to the extravaganza.
The extravaganza. Exactly. And you can't just say that word. I think if you just say that word, you're in for, like, people look at you funny. But if you say it like you mean it, then it's then I think it's perfectly acceptable.
Oh, so, yeah, otherwise it's a wasted opportunity.
Agreed. And it's just like, yeah, if you can roll your R, I think at any point, being married to a Spanish woman, I think that's just, if you don't roll your R's and you have the opportunity to do so, it is in fact a wasted opportunity. And from an audio perspective, I will say that that Spanish and those rolling R's could perhaps be the sexiest language on the planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spanish and Italian.
So speaking of which, Tina, are you still hanging out with the Spaniards down in Costa Rica?
Yeah, off and on. Still splitting some time between mostly Florida and Costa Rica.
Florida and Costa Rica. Very nice. So where are you right now?
I am in Florida. I retired my husband so he could go back to school full time.
You retired him. Wow.
Yeah.
Like put him out to pasture and told him to go get a new degree and the whole nine?
Something like that.
All right, so Tina, for those who don't know you, let's bring folks up to speed.
Okay. God, I hate these because it's like it makes it sound like, you know, it sounds like a dating.
All right, let's do this. What's got you most excited right now? How about that?
Well, what's got me most excited is mostly what had me on the show today, which is this insane audio renaissance that we're having across the board. All over the place with audiobooks, with podcasting, with radio, with all these different forms of audio, because I have the literal recording of when I was about 2 years old, somebody handing me a microphone and a tape recorder for the first time, and I just went to town with it. It's been my favorite thing ever since, so mm-hmm. I'm in my glory right now.
And so talk a little about that, because you work with self-published authors, and I know you don't want to do a whole lot of bragging here, but you've done a lot to help business owners and coaches and authors and those sort of folks over your years here. And of course, you know, creative business solutions is kind of where you hang your hat. But what's got you so fired up about audio?
Well, I think it's the accessibility portion of it. You know, for so many years, particularly with audiobooks. So, like, my two favorite things in the world, besides my family, of course, are reading
and the sound
of my
own voice. Do you just say that, or do you, like... Because I think this is like it's like a political thing.
It is. I feel obligated to say that.
So let's just put it on the table here. Like, given the choices here of like the three things that got you most fired up, family's probably third.
Well, in terms of fired up, yes. In terms of love, no. Yeah, so you're right.
Good answer.
All right, so reading, and you were so rudely interrupted.
our reading and the sound of my own voice. Those are my two top things. So anything involving audio and books together, you know, gets me super, super happy. And for so many years, we had a scenario where it was expensive to buy audiobooks, but people really liked audiobooks. So audiobooks would get taken out from libraries like crazy, but they were expensive to produce, and they were expensive to sell. And in the last several years, since everything has gone digital, it's completely transformed the way people are consuming audio. And so audiobooks are, for the last 3-4 years running, have been the fastest growing segment of the entire publishing industry.
And for those who are unclear, I mean, when you say an audiobook, I have to admit, I don't think I've ever really listened to, I've listened to parts of one, and actually my book has been put into an audio format, and I can, I've never listened to my own book. Which
did
has,
you do it or did someone else do
someone
it?
Someone else did it. Okay. Yeah, someone else did it, which is probably the reason why I never listened to it. But when you say an audio book, I mean, that's literally what you mean, like somebody taking a book and just reading it, and then you access it either on a CD or MP3 file or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah, pretty much everything now is downloadable, and it's funny because audiobooks are one of the few things in the world that cost 50% less to produce now than they did about 7-8 years ago. And that's one of the reasons for the resurgence.
And so when you look at this industry, why? I mean, everybody's going to video. I mean, and Rich and I were talking about that before the show. And, yeah, I mean, I get it, right? I mean, people want to actually see the person so they can relate to the person. But you, I mean, you kind of hung your hat here on audio. Why audio as a medium as opposed to video?
Video has a lot of, you know, wonderful aspects to it, especially if you're talking about marketing. But if you're talking about consumption, actually consuming a product, an audiobook is a product. It's really, you know, obviously we use it for marketing, but it's something that people purchase. And so when people are out and about, you can consume audio anywhere. You cannot consume video anywhere. So people have long commutes. They can download an audiobook. A lot of times if you're on a subway, you can't access live streaming. It's not doable. You're underground. It's not going to happen. If you're in your car, obviously you're not going to be watching audio because, you know, deaf. Mm-hmm. And so people listen to a lot of audio in the car. So it's the high accessibility rate that's made it so very popular. The only kind of book that's outselling audio right now is paperback, and that's just because of the durability of paperbacks. That probably won't change.
Put some parameters around this. I mean, what are we talking? Are we talking, is this a billion? I mean, like, how big are the numbers here? How many books are actually being bought on audio right now?
Well, let's see. One number I can give you is that, you know, with there's so much emphasis for self-published authors on e-books, right? Oh, you got to, you know, get your Kindle out, get your e-book out and all that. In 2015, 1.5 million more audiobooks were downloaded than e-books.
Wait a minute. Say that number again?
1.5 million more audiobooks were downloaded in 2015 than ebooks.
Than ebooks. Okay, so yes. People, so when they're consuming electronically, given the choice, and I guess we got to have a little more context around that. And if I hear the word context again, like in when did that word become so popular?
Well, because it is important.
But when Steve, did, but it's always been important.
Well, it's because the word content has become so popular that the word context had to become popular.
Because someone got just bored of saying the word content.
It's contextual. A perfect example, I was going to ask Tina, is there any stats on how many people finish an audiobook compared to actually finishing a regular book? Paperback.
No, not that I have been able to find. But what I have found is that anecdotally, people report that they are more likely to re-listen to an audiobook than they are to reread a regular book.
Is that because they're not paying attention? Like, I mean, like literally, see, that's the thing. Is like when you're reading, you have to do it. Like you can't.
Right.
I know. Like when I read, like I find myself going, wait a minute, I'm like 3 pages. I don't even remember what the hell I read. Like over those 3 pages, and I go back and I read them. It's like you have to be like super, super present when you read. But when you're doing like audio stuff, like people listening to the show right now, I know that they're doing other things. I know that you're not just sitting there listening.
You're supposed to, right?
But you don't retain that information then. I mean, if you're doing other things, what about retention, Tina? I mean, so in audio, are people actually retaining what they're hearing?
Yeah, people retain from audio about the same that they retain from reading if they're giving the same attention level. So that is one of, and that's just with any medium. But it's the level of, there's a kind of a message here of, does it really matter? Because audio books, whatever, a lot of times people will buy the books, but they're not actually reading them, especially nonfiction books, especially, you know, business books and self-help books and all of that. We end up with these collections of them that just kind of sit there and, you know, look at you.
Collect dust.
Judge you. Yeah. And the audiobooks, the thing about the audiobooks is that we can consume them in short bits, kind of like podcasts. You know, many times podcasts and audiobooks go hand in hand. You may only listen to a chapter at a time. You might jump around. You might go back in time. But there's this level of you always have it with you because it's on your damn phone. Mm-hmm. Your books aren't necessarily always with you unless you're a huge Kindle reader or, you know, iBooks and things like that, which might be. But again, you can't do it while you're at the gym. You can't do it while you're folding laundry. You can't do it while you're waiting for your kids. Well, you could, waiting for your kids. But, you know, all these other things that we do while we're mobile. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with commutes being so long. And here's the other thing. You know, the average American reads about 12 books a year, but the average audiobook listener listens to 19 to 20 books a year.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. But I want you to step us through, after the break, I want you to sort of step us through the process of what it takes to actually create an audiobook. Because I think a lot of people think, yeah, that's just too damn hard. Like, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. There's no reason for me to. Like, they get confused. They get frustrated. So I want you to show how accessible this is for somebody who's kind of dumb like me, okay? All right, more on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Tina Dietz here. Got Rich Oche in the house. How's that? Is that better? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
All right, much better. Very cool. All right, so Tina, before the break, we were talking about how to get into this whole world of audio marketing and more specifically, creating your own audiobook. So what is that process like? I mean, I know there's a lot of folks out there who think, Jiminy, like, this is way too complicated. I can't possibly do it. What do you say to those folks and how do you step them through it?
Well, gee willikers, Steve, there are about three different ways that you can approach audiobook production. So one that is probably the easiest but is the least accessible is that you've got a book deal where your publisher is handling it for you. And that is, you know, it definitely does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I should mention that for those folks who are working with publishers, one of the things that is kind of a mistake that a lot of authors make is not negotiating their audio rights, because you can really get screwed over on that. If you don't own your audio rights and the publisher owns your audio rights and doesn't want to make an audio book, then that's a really missed opportunity for a whole other income stream.
Hmm.
So that's just a kind of a contract side note.
Mm-hmm.
The second opportunity.
By the way, where were you like when I needed you during my contract negotiations with Wiley? Like I fall under that first category.
You said Wiley. I'm sorry.
I know. Well, no, nothing against Wiley. We love Wiley.
We like Wiley.
We will never work with them again. No, just playing. I would totally if they paid me enough. I'm a whore. I love money. I'm a Jew. These are the sort of things that turn me on. You said, you know, that we have different things that fire us up. Money is just number one on my list, then family, and then friends. So there we go. All right. So,
good to know.
Yeah, and so I needed you during those negotiations because I clearly didn't hold on to any rights like whatsoever, including the audio rights. And like I said, I've never even heard the audio version of my book because I was mad. I was like, how could you not even ask me to read? And then they listened to my radio show and they were like, okay, that's probably why they didn't ask me to to read my own book. All right, so first category is the book publisher takes care of it for you, that sort of thing. All right, what's the second option?
Second category is to completely self-publish, and that is an option currently only available in practicality to folks who live in the U.S. and the U.K., and that is because there is a common backend. This is the keys to the kingdom for folks who want to self-publish. There's a common backend to Audible, Amazon, and iTunes for audiobook publishing called ACX.com. And you can go through, you can learn the audiobook process, you can, you know, do it yourself, or you can work with narrators through that backend and upload it and get your book produced and uploaded to Audible, Amazon, and iTunes all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Through that process.
And so, and of the options here, is this going to be the best option or is the third option going to be the most likely option for folks?
Well, the third option is working with me. So, you know, that's my favorite, but, mm-hmm. you know, that's the way it goes. But there are very few people who actually produce and publish audiobooks as who are not studio, what we call studio-based audio production. So, the entire audio industry changed completely about 10 years ago when people started to be able to have home studios.
Mm-hmm.
It was always really arduous even to audition for a voice acting gig or for a narration gig because you had to go somewhere and you had to go to a studio and you had to pay for studio time. And that's one of the reasons why the price for audiobook production has dropped 50% in the last 7-8 years is because people have home studios. So, you know, for example, I have a tribe of about 150 narrators I work with, and I have access to 4,000 more. They're all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it. That's what really keeps the cost down and also gets people more jobs, and they're able to freelance doing something they love. So I love that kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could totally self-publish. You're in the U.S. and U.K. I highly recommend you go check out that site and check out the process and see what that is. It's like with anything. You're going to pay in time or you're going to pay in money. You know, you're going to pay in a learning curve, or you're going to work with somebody, either a studio-based, you know, audiobook production, or you're going to work with a company like mine that's going to help you get it done, and it's one way or the other.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, production and, you know, getting something as a total done for you, it's really economical to get it done because of all of these factors I just talked about.
How many people do just the audiobook, like don't even write a book? Is there
you
very,
don't.
So
it's not even really an option.
Got it. So if you don't have a regular book, do you recommend doing a regular book first or?
Wait. There's got to be somebody out there, some knucklehead. I will be the first because literally you're saying that when you say you don't, it's possible. Logistically, it's possible
technically, it's not an audiobook. It's an audio program.
Oh, there you go. Right, so I guess if you're not reading
a book, we're going to put a fine line on it.
You're just talking at that point. You're just saying whatever you want to say.
Oh, it's like here.
It's like here. So, like, this is technically an audio book, right? So, or no, an audio
program. No, it's a program.
This is a podcast.
But if we made it into a book,
right?
Then we're doing a radio
that
show
no one in their right mind would read. Although maybe they would because we talk so fast here that maybe they miss so much and they don't want to go back and hear all the recordings. They want to read the book and then that would be the way that it goes. Okay. All right. So Tina, let me ask you this. So somebody hires you, you've got all these people. And by the way, in a land far, far away, like, you know, those movie voices, like I want to be
in
able to do
world.
That in a
yeah.
world. Yeah,
yeah.
That one.
He just recently died a couple years.
That guy died. Oh,
I
that's
know.
So sad. But fortunately, there's probably a million other people who sound just like him that you can hire. Anyway, all right. So if we're not in a world far, far away and we're actually in this real world, put some like parameters around this. Like what are we talking about soup to nuts here? Like if somebody wanted to work with you to get their audio book done, what does that look like time-wise? What does that look like investment-wise? What's somebody looking at?
So it depends on the length of the book, but I can give you some basic parameters on that because, you know, one of the things we do is we're paying narrators by the what's called finished audio hour or PFH, per finished hour. So that has a factor in and of it. But my books, when I'm working with, and I specialize in nonfiction authors, their books tend to run anywhere from 3 to 4 hours to about 6 to 7 hours. So the range tends to go anywhere from about $2,400 up till about $5,000, and depending on the bells and whistles that people want.
So just kind of backing through the numbers, then around $600-$800 an hour is what it kind of breaks down to?
Well, because they're doing it a done-for-you product, it involves all the project management, the proofing, the audition process, you know, all of those things that take a lot of time. So it takes about 20 to 30 hours of the author's time off of their plate that they don't have to do.
Mm-hmm. And that then ends up on something like Audible, or they sell it themselves, or how does that work? So you have the finished product. What do you do with it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that I usually work with folks ahead of time because, you know, much like yourself, I never believe in just doing doing something unless it's got a purpose. You know, going to put time and effort and energy and money into something, you got to have a way to use it.
Wait,
so,
just so we're clear here, that is a really, really big assumption.
I've talked with you enough.
Maybe you say just like rich. I'm not sure that everything and anything that I do really has a purpose or a plan, which is, by the way, that's the book that I'm coming out with in 2017, is Without a Purpose or a Plan. That's
awesome.
That's the name of the new book.
We'll turn it into an audiobook for you, and you can voice it this time.
Thank you.
For five grand.
I pay to do my own audiobook. That's great.
It's actually much more difficult for somebody to voice their own book than it is to work with an author or a narrator, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Much more time-consuming and more costly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons I tend to steer authors away from that option, unless they are a very large kind of recognizable name.
So,
other than that, it tends not to matter as much.
And are people doing this because it's actually a revenue generator? Like, there's an actual profit center. Can you actually make money, or is this more like sort of an egotistical type approach to just, hey, I want to have my own audiobook out there?
No, I think it definitely turns into if you are marketing it. So this goes back to your previous question, which is, yeah, there's a market for it because, you know, the numbers, hopefully in this case, don't lie, that these books are getting downloaded or getting purchased. And so many folks, when they release their original book, are giving, especially in the nonfiction world, are giving their book away for free so that they can attain that, you know, mecca of, you know, Amazon bestseller status,
mm-hmm.
that this is a way to actually take the work you've already done and do something with it that does make money, rather than having to create an entirely new product. Most of the folks who come to me, they're either reviving an older book, you know, bringing it new life, making it a new income stream, or they're adding it on to a book release that they're doing to kind of extend the life of the launch and give people more options. Because in many cases, people who love audiobooks, when they see the free Kindle version and they see it's available on audio, especially if they have an Audible membership, because mm-hmm. Audible.com is mostly membership-based, they will download both.
Yeah,
and go back and forth between the two different copies. So I think, you know, when we're in this world of limited time and wanting to repurpose our materials, especially as entrepreneurs, it makes a lot of sense.
Are there any other options, like, right now that make sense other than Audible.com?
Audible's the 500-pound gorilla in the room. They kind of set the standard in the world for audiobooks. You know, you can publish in other places. There's audiobooks.com. Some publishers have their own platform and their own apps, but the vast majority is really through audible.com. I mean, you can find public domain audiobooks on LibriVox.com. You can find them on YouTube and so on and so forth. But mm-hmm. in terms of books that are being published now and that, you know, have active copyright, then Audible is by far the largest
sure.
source of that material.
All right, awesome. So we're talking to Tina Dietz today, and we are reinventing audio marketing. Tina Dietz, start something creative, bizbizsolutions.com. We have got to get you a Bitly link or something. Tina, we'll be working on that after the break. All right, more on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Thank you. You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the Series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome to another edition here. Welcome back to another edition of Reinvention Radio. I got to stop drinking during the middle of the program. So I found that it relaxes me, Rich. And that's going to be my next audiobook, is drinking while broadcasting. What do you think about that, Tina? Is that a good title, drinking while broadcasting? Yeah,
I think so, too. It kind of goes with my thought that Skype's motto should be Skype, pants optional.
Which I didn't even know that was like, I thought that was just sort of protocol.
Well, you know, we might as well use it.
Yeah, well, I think they will pay you big money for that, because after all, you are a creative business solution-er person. Yeah, all right, so Rich, so you actually had a question for Tina here. We were talking a little bit about calls to action and those sort of things, like during the audiobook. So what were you suggesting, or what were you going to ask?
Yeah, Tina, you were saying you mostly work with nonfiction writers, and they're mostly trying to drive to some sort of sales somewhere else in the process. What's the best call to action? Since someone's doing something else a lot of times when they're listening to audio, what's a good way to interrupt them, or have you seen any good examples of that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, several of my authors currently, we work on that inside their books, because in the book itself, it's usually just printed on the bottom. It's like, you know, to download your free workbook, go to whatever their URL is. So we weave that into the conversation, usually at the end of chapters, or if there's exercises or questions that they're posing to the listener during the book, then that becomes part of the conversation. So it sounds a bit more like teaching or training rather than a little mini infomercial at the end. So it's a difference between, and remember, you can find the download the work pages or the exercises here at www.howwomencoolsolutions.com, as opposed to, you know, chapter 3, you know. Mm-hmm. For all things here, go to www. It's tone. It's really making the tone correct and weaving it in where it's natural rather than where it's abrupt.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you actually had a question or a comment for Tina as well, right?
Oh, well, I was going to jump in more towards the end. I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the conversation.
This could very well be the end, depending on how long it takes here. We've only got a few minutes left, so please. Yeah.
But obviously, Tina, you're preaching to the choir here, right?
Yeah, totally.
I've been running an internet radio station for about 14 years, and I just wanted
to... What's your sign, Wade?
My sign?
Yeah, what's your...
WSradio.com.
Hello. Please, keep going,
book.
Yes.
We put the media in social media. But I just wanted to reinforce what you were saying about the usability of audio, because it is a multitasking media. You know, the studies have shown people give video 1 to 2 minutes because, like you said, total focus. I've got to kind of be standing there looking at my phone, where I'm viewing the smartphone as the portable radio of the 21st century. This is what's plugging into the car. This is what's going on the treadmill. It's a multitasking media that, like you said, makes it easy for people to consume. But I encourage people to recognize a comprehensive media solution. Do video, do print, do audio, but recognize hammer, wrench, screwdriver. What print does best is conveys data. So if I need to do a deep drill down, I really should give that in print. Video teaches through demonstration at show and tell. Audio's magic is the theater of the mind. Mm. I like to say print is what, video's how, audio's why. So like you said, Tina, they're going to be consuming while they're doing other things. Give them, in your audio, more why motivational. Don't try to give them an engineering textbook.
Yeah, and this has been a Wade moment on Reinvention Radio. Thank you, Wade, for that teaching.
Those are my
thoughts. Beautiful. That was beautiful. I want to take you on the
road.
Wait,
and now you're dropping the microphone and you're leaving? That's
it? You just did a mic drop.
Mic drop. So
Steve's going to now write, why is your why?
You just came in, you shared that, you draw the mic, and you're out. Man, all right, Wade. Well, thank you so much for being here and playing together with us. Tina, Wade's not even going to stick around.
He's like, boom, I'm out.
Wade out. He doesn't even want to have a conversation around that. What do you think?
I guess that was a statement because he didn't even wait for your reply. He was just like, boom.
Yeah.
That wasn't really a question. I don't think I could actually have said that better. It was beautiful. Like, I'm going to take that as a soundbite and use it somewhere because that was gorgeous.
And you have every right at this point because Wade did not ask for clearance to come in on your program and advertise his services there.
Yeah, right. He's right. And going back to the marketing question from earlier, you know, there's a ton of different ways to market audiobooks, and one of them is through radio. I think Elizabeth Gilbert, the approach to her book Big Magic, did it brilliantly, where she did, I think, a 6 or 8 episode podcast series as a lead up to the book, and mm-hmm. it was genius. Mm-hmm. And it got popular enough. She did it as an experiment. Now that's become part of her platform. But mm-hmm. it might work, it might not. But doing it that way isn't a huge commitment, but can help people find you more.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this. What do you think about sort of this renaissance or resurgence or whatever we want to call it here around podcasting and just the audio medium in general?
Well, one of the things you can always count on with human beings is we're totally wired for storytelling. I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of what it is to be human is we tell stories. We tell them in our head. We tell them coming out of our face. It's just how we are. So whether that is going to be in podcasting or if it's going to be in audiobooks or it's going to be in conversation or from a stage, we're always going to be looking for those outlets. And the thing about podcasting right now is that it is such an open medium, an accessible medium that isn't kind of being throttled the way that other things are, mm-hmm. which you know, that'll probably change. But right now, it's a good time to experiment with it. But, I mean, the average podcast only lasts 7 episodes.
Yeah, those numbers seem to change depending on who you ask, but somewhere in the 7 to 9 range. Because like anything else, I mean, you don't get, it's like this instant gratification society that we all live in. I mean, if you don't get those immediate results and like, wait a minute, I didn't get 300,000 downloads on my 7 episodes. Well, no, unless you're, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, who comes out with, I don't know if you saw the whole, when you get a chance, if you want to have a little bit of fun, look at the conspiracy theories behind Malcolm Gladwell's revisionist history or whatever the name of that podcast mm-hmm. is, and the way that it came out of absolutely nowhere to land at number one and stayed in the top of those podcasts, right? There's actually a whole sort of theory and conspiracy and the whole nine behind that. And that's,
which is ironic, yeah.
Google that when you have an opportunity.
Well, the rule of thumb is that if you have a following, when you add a medium, it's going to enhance it. If you don't have a following, it's going to take a crap ton of time and effort and energy. That's mm-hmm. the way it goes.
Yeah, and
it's like going to the gym, you know?
Wait, so, that probably explains a lot. So then the 3 workouts that I did, and I don't have my 6-pack yet, so that I've got to obviously stay the course a little.
You got it.
Damn it. All right, it all requires work and effort, doesn't it? All right, so Tina, what? Where's the best place for folks to reach you, and what's got you most excited in the next 26 seconds here?
Well, I'll give you a shorter URL because we're on radio, so I'll give you a more radio-based URL, which is thestartsomethingshow.com. So com and check out, talk with me, connect with me. Mm-hmm. And if you put in Tina Dietz on any social media platform, my face is going to smile back up at you.
Nice. All right. And really awesome having you here. So the Start Something Show. .com and thanks for all the invitations to that program. As of course, you know, I have been featured numerous times on the Start Something Show, and I anticipate that happening again really soon. So thank you for that. And Tina, it's always been a pleasure chatting with you, talking with you, and being able to learn from your brilliance. So again, check out Tina Dietz, the StartSomethingShow.com, and all the fun things she has going on there. And for those of you who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast version of this, we really do appreciate you. And don't forget, you can join us every Thursday live from 12 until 2 Pacific. For Mary Goulet, who's doing your volunteer work, Rich Otey, White Wade, I'm Steve Ulsher, and we will talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Talk soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulsher, visit reinventionradio.com.